Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me again. I always enjoy our conversations. And I always appreciate when we take a moment to acknowledge that people might not just be in the right headspace this exact moment to listen. So thank you. I was going to suggest that if you feel like December 3rd is far too early to be thinking about the holidays this year, go ahead and save it for later. When I was looking at my calendar this week, I was like, we're talking about the holidays already. but we've already also, on the flip side, just been through Thanksgiving and that kind of, so we're kind of in the holiday season, so it makes sense, but I just like emotionally maybe wasn't so ready to start talking about the end of December or the end of 2020. So let's talk about sharing with our friends when we're feeling overwhelmed. I think that's really important. So one of the biggest things that being overwhelmed or anxious or sad does is it makes us feel very alone in our experiences. And so I think there's a lot of power in saying, I am really overwhelmed right now. Like I know what I need to do or I don't know what I need to do, but I'm just really overwhelmed. And I mean, I say this all the time, right? Feelings are okay. It's totally fine to be overwhelmed. It's not fine to sit in it forever. And it's not fine to be like, well, I'll just be overwhelmed forever. But it is totally fine to be like, this week is kicking my butt, or, you know, this year is kicking my butt. There's always the nuances, the shades of gray, the ability to find positive things to focus on or to do within the situation. And one of those is connecting with friends. That's probably one of the best things you can do is to connect with friends or loved ones and say, hey, this week sucks. How are you doing? What's going on with you?
I love that you said that this week sucks, you know, like we have a saying here in our house where it's like, well, that sucked. And, you know, at first my kids were like, that's, you know, kind of like, that's not, you know, very adulty to say kind of thing. But sometimes that's just the only way that you can describe something. Like it really just sucked. Like it was just so, so, so bad. And you know, I love that you always allow us to have feelings. You always allow us to, whatever it is that we are just feeling, whatever it is that we are going through. I love that you always give us this permission to just be with that and sit with that. And it's kind of like practicing of looking at your feelings as like this, I don't know, and maybe this is just me and maybe this is going to sound really weird for some people, but like little people or like little, you know, I don't know, aliens or something. Right. And it's like, oh, there you are, sadness, or there you are, stress, or there you are, happiness. Right. And I will admittedly say that when I'm really, really happy, like it just takes all of me, like absolutely all of me. And my kids are like, okay, mom, calm down a little bit. Right? That's one of the ones that I have a hardest time establishing boundaries with in many ways. Right. But you know, it's kind of like acknowledging them and saying hi to them and trying to understand and see, okay, why are you here today? What's happening? What's going on that's having me feel this way? And I love that you're like, you know, be with it for some time, but, and even with happiness, don't stay, you know, with that overjoy like I tend to do sometimes for so long. Because it, yes, I mean, it can really affect you depending on what it is. Like, you know, if it's sadness especially, or if it's, you know, one of those gloomier feelings, it can really be meaning something else and you want to acknowledge it. That's why it's so important. Like Julie always says, check in with yourself, right? Check in with yourself, see where you are. Find out what it is that's going through today. And if you see a pattern, that's when you want to reach out for help. That's when you really want to have those conversations, maybe with friends, maybe, or maybe you do want to talk to somebody else, to an expert about that. It's all valid. It's all good. It's all important to do. With the holiday season upon us, Julie, you know, I started saying it's generally speaking, I mean, December, you think December and you think, oh my gosh, you know, all of these things are going to happen. And you think family, you think friends, you think gatherings, you think all of that. Well, 2020, you're still thinking about it, right? Whether you can do it or not. it's the difference here, right? Because of all of the restrictions that we have with COVID. And how do we cope with that, right? Because there's frustration. There is maybe even, sadness. There's a real sense of loss, I think, that's feeling that's overwhelming everybody, right? Because there's people who usually travel to see friends, family in other places. They can't do that right now. There's gatherings that happen with coworkers, with friends, you know. I mean, my agenda is filled with every single day, right? And this is the month of the year where I usually go and try so many different foods in many different restaurants, right? Well, that's not happening this year, right? So there's a sense of loss in this 2020 season, but it's the time where we continue to get the idea that it's the joyful season, that it's joy. So it's like a conflicting set of feelings that are coming and messages that are coming our way. How do we cope with all that? How do we make sense of all that?
Yeah, good question. I'm certainly learning alongside all of you. I want to be really clear. It's not like I necessarily have secret knowledge. I'm not beaming back from the future. You know, I haven't lived through a pandemic. But what I can tell you are best practices, what I'm in the process of doing, and some information that I've gathered from like the CDC and other kind of sources, because I was looking for this information myself. I'm a big party hostess, and especially we do our Friendsgiving normally every year, where we have like 25 people crammed into our dining room and front room and kitchen. We're starting to spread into a third room now. And I was sad. I was really sad the day that we normally have it, which is the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And so I decided to distract myself, right? So first I allowed myself to be sad, because feelings are okay and you can feel them. Nobody's saying to tamp them down or to put them off to the side or do anything else, because if you do that, they're just going to bubble up later and they're going to be a lot worse if you don't acknowledge them or greet them like a friend. I love that analogy you were using. I like to talk about Inside Out, the movie where they actually had the little people in the girl's head. That's like my favorite movie of all time. So say hello to joy, say hello to sadness, listen to what they're telling you, and then respectfully ask them to leave, right? So go ahead and move on to other kind of categories, right? So what I did for Friendsgiving Day, which we didn't have Friendsgiving, is I baked 6 pies, and I offered to my friends who were around that were comfortable that they could come pick them up. We would be masked and they would just basically take a homemade pie with them. So that's my favorite part of that holiday. So I sat there and thought about, what am I really missing? So of course the people, of course the meal, of course the food, but what I really miss is the chance to bake, which is a way that I show my love and appreciation, right? And so a chance to bake and then give that to somebody and show them my gratitude, right? So I baked 6 pies, and I had a few people that had to drop out that weekend, which is fine, and I understand for a lot of reasons. So I had a couple extra pies, which I'm not mad about either. I got a chance to see 4 of my friends across the weekend. We were all masked. We were outside. I handed the pie over. We stood away from each other and we talked, and it was very cold, but it was so nice to see people and to be able to give them, you know, my baked goods form of love. So my suggestion for like just a broad, the key suggestion would be, think about what you are really missing about the holiday, right? So we have our normal standard of do something all the time. It's finals. We got to wrap that up. Like, we all have these general things, but what do you actually really like or miss about the holiday season? And then how can you still do that safely? So for me, it was baking pies and giving them to friends that we met outside and we were masked, like all that stuff. For other people, maybe it's the like quiet crafting time, like maybe you do crafts and you make wreaths and stuff, and there are still wreath workshops that you can do outdoors, and again, you'll freeze your buns off a little bit, but you can still do it, right? And you can even bring friends in to do the workshop, and so really drill down into what specifically do I really miss? And then be very intentional about seeking that out in a safe way. That would be like my number one suggestion. I have a ton of little ones, but.
I absolutely love that, because when usually when you hear about, you know, your memories, there's a smell, or there's a taste, or there's a dish, or there's, you know, there's something really specific. And I had not thought about that until you just brought it up. And I love this idea, because, you know, maybe what you're missing is, you know, mom always baked, you know, if you're a college student, right, for Dragons, if you're a college student and you're away from home, right, and what you're missing is, I'm not going to be able to go to my mom's house to have, you know, like Julie just said, the pie, or maybe there's a drink or something. Well, that might actually be an opportunity. If you have this, if they're available, maybe you schedule a time where you maybe this year try to make it yourself, right? And that becomes a new thing and an enjoyable thing. And you might find that that's surprisingly enough, right? To just keep you in good spirits and fill some of that void, because there's a void, right? That we're all experiencing this year. I'm usually one that makes plans at the last minute for the holiday season. That's usually how we are. Like, we, you know, if you ask me until the 15th, the 16th, oh yeah, I don't know, we'll see. And then the 17th, I'm like, oh, I'm going to Ecuador to go see the family, right? Like, we are really, really late for planning when it comes to the holiday season. So I don't have those, you know, those stressors, but I am missing. I usually have reunions with friends. I usually have, you know, my husband's jobs or our job, or, you know, like all of these other things. So I'm pretty busy. Maybe that's why I put my personal plans until the end, because I just don't have time to think about it until before. But if you really hone in on it, why do I sometimes make that last minute decision to go either to Ecuador or, you know, other states where my family is because I'm missing that one particular thing. Yes, the people, yes, spending time. I have seen them though. I talk to them constantly, and I'm still very much in touch, probably more this year than I've been in other years. So that's been a good thing about, you know, being physically distanced. But if I can bring some of that, right, then I think that that will just really give a little bit of joy and peace to my heart and to my mind, as I just accept, you know, maybe the fact that I can do it like I've always done it. I can come up with that last minute plan, because it's just not going to be safe. It's just not going to be safe to do it. And let's talk about safety here, Julie, for a moment, because that's one thing, you know, wash your hands, put in your mask, keep your distance, right? Don't gather in groups more than this, try to do things outside. And everybody has a different comfort level, and everybody has different thoughts when it comes to all of those safety measures, right? So as we continue to, I mean, maybe you're going out shopping, maybe you are actually want to gather with some friends, right? And people have different safety levels, different comfort levels with, you know, what I want or don't want to do. Like you just said, some people were comfortable with you bringing a homemade pie. I know people who would have never taken that. I mean, they love my daughter's baking. I'm not going to take credit for baking, because that's not me. But I know that there's some friends that if I offer right now to bring something that my daughter has made, even though they absolutely love her baking, they're not comfortable doing that right now. So how do we honor that? How do we continue to be safe, enjoy, and interact with others, respecting ourselves and respecting others at the same time?
Yeah. So it's tricky, right? And I've had a few friends, you know, friends that have been consistently very high risk, because they're immunocompromised. So they're like seeing nobody, nothing, no how, nowhere. I've had other friends that are willing to like meet at parks and be masked and walk around. I've had other friends that are, you know, and I'm not part of this, but they're going to restaurants and bars, and like, they're like, whatever. So, there is very clear guidance. I want to be clear. There is clear, scientifically proven guidance that we should be following. But that being said, everybody will have a different comfort and safety level within those guidance and from the CDC, from the county, from Maryland, right? So everybody's got all these kind of levels. So when in doubt, please go back to the Howard County regulations, the Maryland regulations, the CDC or the WHO recommendations, because really we should be following the scientists' guidelines. But let's say you are within the guidelines, but they're still not comfortable meeting with you. So it's not personal. It's just, it's not personal. And we need to be very, very mindful of that. And it could be that it is a little bit personal because you are engaging in riskier activities than this person is comfortable with. So for instance, my boyfriend works outside of the home, right? And he's masked, they're doing their job, they're keeping things clean, but people are still getting COVID at his workplace, right? And so is that because of the workplace or their other habits? Not really sure. But we are inherently riskier than families that are completely at home, right? And so we know that. And so when we've talked with friends, some friends initially were fine with this level of risk back in March, April, May, and would still meet us masked up outside. But now they're not comfortable and it's not personal. And I know that it's not personal. So a lot of us are attaching personal feelings. We are mistaking opinions for facts. We are taking it very personally when somebody says you're engaging in riskier activity than I'm comfortable with, because then we get defensive, right? So just, we've got to let go of that. We've got to. It's basically about consent. And, you know, I'm not going to get like way down the rabbit hole of consent, but this basically means that you are very clear about what activities you are participating in when you're making plans to meet with somebody, even if you are masked and even if you are distanced, because there's still a risk. It's not zero, right, when you meet with somebody else. So you can say something like, my boyfriend works outside of the home 5 days a week. He's masked and he's, you know, keeping clean. I visit the store 2 or 3 times a month, right? Sometimes a little bit more if I have to go to Home Depot or something, but you know. So this is like, this is our risk level. We're comfortable meeting outside and masked and at a distance. What are you comfortable with? Really simple. And then you need to get their information about their activities, because the reality is, even if you think you're in their bubble, they might have another person that's in their bubble. And that person might be seeing a whole bunch of other people. So it's just really important that we are very clear about who we are seeing, what we're doing, and that we don't take it personally if somebody says, you know, I'm going to opt out, but let's meet on Zoom. Let's do, you know, let's do a baking contest or something. I love that suggestion of, you know, maybe grandma or mom is on Zoom or something teaching you how to make the pie. I think that's great. So basically them saying no to in-person is not a personal statement. And then if they don't suggest it, you can suggest a virtual meetup. Like there's still, you can still be connected.
Absolutely. And, you know, really appreciate that you're bringing that idea of, getting creative even, or just accepting, you know, and again, we are talking about acceptance. First, we need to accept that the reality that we're in is what it is, right? Our opinions, we can have opinions about it, and those opinions can totally be against, right? Against what's happening. We might disagree and say, I don't believe that the facts are that, you know, like you can have your opinions about it. What we cannot do is we cannot impose those opinions, because, you know, we have, that's why we have government. That's why we have scientists, right? And that's why we live in the country that we live in, right? And we got to follow the protocols that they give us. Can you have your opinions? Absolutely. You can certainly have your opinions, but don't impose those opinions or don't expect others to necessarily agree 100% with your opinions one way or the other, you know, whether you are totally in home. I know people who have not left their houses since March. And I just like, you know, people who, you know, I see every weekend, they're in different places and I'm like, wow, you know, like it's a very different lifestyle, in both ends of the spectrum. Right. And there's people in between, anywhere in between. So those two ends. And the reality is that's what they're comfortable with. And I think that this is something that not only applies to the holidays and COVID, but, you know, finding that respect and that conversation, that honest conversation that you just talked about, that honest communication of saying, this is who I'm seeing, this is what I'm doing. And then in turn, as respecting and saying, not judgmentally, right? Saying, okay, thanks for sharing that information with me. This is what I'm comfortable doing, and not taking that personal. I think that's a real challenge here. I think that's a real, real challenge here. We talked about getting creative. We talked about, because we still talked about celebrating, right? We still talked about it's a holiday to celebrate. It's the season where we, you know, we start with giving thanks, and that extends all the way through the end of December. So what other fun ways, right? We talked about Zoom. We talked about, okay, we can't meet in person. Maybe let's do a Zoom. Maybe we do a combination, a hybrid, you know, reunion where you have some people in Zoom, some people in person. If you're comfortable, you talked about being outside. What other fun ideas, fun ways, you know, suggestions you have for us for this holiday season?
Yeah. So I have a few, and then I will admit I did Google, because Google has a lot of great information. So you are welcome to like type in like stay connected and see what pops up. So I think one of the big ones for me is food is just like a way that I connect with people. And so that's been really hard for me. I love to cook and bake for people, and I just don't get the chance to right now in a lot of ways. So I did bake stuff and had people come pick it up. One of my other friends, I went and picked up a meal kit to make donuts. It was so fun. And I got one, and then I got her one, and then I drove to her house and dropped the meal kit off, went back home. And then a day or two later, we got on Zoom and made donuts together, which was a lot of fun. And so, you know, food is hard for you for a couple of reasons, or if you just don't have, and I will admit this is an expensive kind of hobby to have. But if you don't have the funds, if you don't have that, I mean, you don't need to necessarily do all of that together. We've done like little dinner party kind of things, which is always funny because we have completely different meals, right? So like we're ordering in from DoorDash or Grubhub or whatever. And, she's got like breakfast, and I'm over here with like Italian food or something. And it's very funny to be there. And so we're talking and eating together, which is nice. And again, food is like a big kind of focus for me. I also love using, I love book clubs. I love reading, but I recognize not everybody is like up for a full blown book club. So I did do, and this worked pretty well for a few sessions, so then we kind of dropped off. But we did like watch a TED talk. So like 15 minutes, and then get together and discuss it. Or let's read this one article, or let's listen to this podcast episode. So instead of doing like a traditional, let's read a 200-300 page book, we made it a lot smaller and easier for people to participate too, which was nice. Yeah.
I love that idea. And you know, you said Google, I also Googled for our conversation today. And one thing, you know, and I had a little bit of mixed feelings, and I want to get your input on this, because one of the articles that I found, you know, was kind of like inviting people to do everything big, like, you know, really, 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 really decorate your house this year, really, you know, do everything that you've always done, like bake a lot of cookies and decorate them, and make an extra special breakfast meal, make an extra special dinner meal. And, you know, and I see, right? I see how that can help some people. But I had mixed feelings, because I was like, well, if I was reading this and I was just looking for ways to cheer myself, and I just came across this, I'm not feeling all that cheery as it is already. And then you're asking me to go and do all of this extra super big work. I don't know that I want to do that. Right? So, you know, it was like make Christmas mask, make a puzzle, you know, ornaments. I mean, everything and anything that you can think about was on this list that I found. And it was just so big. It was just so big that I was getting tired just reading about it, right? So, if you're Googling, if you're listening to our suggestions, but at the same time, you're feeling like, I don't know, that seems like a lot of work, or, you know, is it okay, I guess, is the question that I really have. Is it okay to just say, or pick just one thing, or, you know, instead of super decorating things. I mean, I've even seen little pictures of this little tiny Christmas tree that has two or three ornaments, right? Like, is that okay? Is that enough? You know, I mean, do you give us permission, Julie, as we're taking care of ourselves, you know?
For what it's worth, Julie gives you permission to do what you need to do to stay healthy and well. So I know that I have a few friends that are opting out of doing it big this year because they're just not feeling like there's a lot to celebrate, which is fine, totally fine. So on Friendsgiving Day, when I was sad and I was trying to distract myself, I went out and bought a much larger Christmas tree than I normally do, like a artificial one. And I decorated that thing and I got new decorations because I just felt like I needed that. And so we've had the lights on every day for multiple hours. And, but on the flip side, I haven't put anything up on my mantle. You know, I haven't done any outside decorations, but we do have this really big Christmas tree. So I don't know. We'll see when we get closer if I feel motivated to put the rest of it up. But for right now, I'm fine with the one corner of my living room being like Christmas and then the rest of the house just being normal. And so if you're not feeling it, then don't force it. That's not worthwhile. We talked about toxic positivity last episode. That's kind of the same vibe. Like you don't have to celebrate anything if you don't want to. So there's some funny traditions out there. If you want to like go celebrate Festivus, if you want to, you know, maybe just experiment with different types of food, or you want to like just watch Christmas movies or whatever, then you do that. Whatever feels good, as long as you're not hurting yourself or other people, is fine. So, you know, if you want to just watch Hallmark Channel for the next whatever amount of days, 22 days straight, fine. But if you also would like Hallmark Channel to disappear and not exist anymore, that's also fine. So really just checking in, seeing how you're feeling. You know, check in with other people in your household though too, because we want to avoid making unilateral decisions for people. So make sure you're compromising with everybody, right? So you know, I don't have kids, but if I had kids, I have to imagine I probably would do a little bit more than I might usually, because I want to kind of fill a gap of not having all that extra stuff in there. But it's also fine to be like, hey, we're going to tone it down this year because we've been doing too much the last whatever amount of time. So let's slow down and get back to the root. What do we really want out of the holiday season? Is it about human connection? Then let's really value that and be present and put our phones away and, you know, do what we want to do. I didn't mention this as another suggestion, but I would be remiss if I did not. So gaming is an excellent way to connect with people too. And there's a lot of ways to do that. So you could play board games over Zoom. You could play online games over like Steam. You could play Among Us. You could play Words with Friends on your phone. But there's a lot of ways to stay connected without it being like a full-on two-hour Zoom conversation face-to-face, which you eventually get tired of, right? It's very exhausting, especially if you have a lot of people in the chat and you're trying to get your relatives to mute. if you're just trying to have a regular conversation, it can be very overwhelming. So just really thinking about ways that you can connect without being stuck in like a forever Zoom call as well would be good.
Online fatigue is a term I think that we've all at least heard by now. We're becoming familiar with it, and I can always say that I'm experiencing it, you know. So, and it's not something that I ever thought of before. So yeah, I mean, acknowledge that. And one thing that I really want to emphasize that you just said right there is be mindful of others in your household, because like I'm not feeling very encouraged to go and put more work on my shoulders of going and decorating the house like I usually do. Like that's where I am right now, right? And I haven't had this conversation with my kids. I haven't talked to my husband either. I haven't asked anybody's opinion on it yet, right? I've just made that decision and I'm like, okay, nope, not really wanting to go and decorate the house. But you just brought this up to my attention. It's important to also validate maybe what they might be feeling, because if I don't do anything, they might actually feel that void even bigger. So mm-hmm. Now, do I have to be the one to go and decorate? No, I just need to go have that conversation and let them know how I'm feeling, get their feelings, and make a plan, right? Maybe he's like, okay, well, then you guys are in charge. I'll help you in this ways, but then it's really up to you guys. And my kids are old enough that they can actually kind of be in charge of this. I understand if you have younger kids,
right.
You may have to take a little bit more of that role on yourself. But this brings us, I think, it's a good way to transition into a question that Julie, you know, put in my mind that I'm really like, I've been pondering, like, how do we this? And it's about roles, right? And when we have holidays come up and when we gather, right, usually in person, it usually means we're all going to somebody's house and it's either grandma's or mom's or where we grew up and things like that, right? And Julie brought up this idea of, you know, we usually, when we go back to our original homes, maybe I guess we can call it, we really go back. Like we go back to the same childhood roles that we were. I mean, we may be coming back with full families, having our own children, in some cases grandchildren, yet you still go back to that same family interaction that existed, those same roles that we had growing up. And I think I'm like fascinated by this idea because I had not thought about it. But as I shared with you before we came live, it was like, yes, like there's, you know, there's, and I guess I'm going to put him out there, my brother. we yes, our relationship has developed in many ways, yet there's many other ways in which it's like we're just still those two little kids fighting over the toys or the car or, you know, whatever it was. So what's behind all of that, Julie? Help us understand that a little bit.
Yeah. So I thank you for putting yourself and your brother out there. I frequently, when I'm around my grandparents, if it's just my grandparents and I, we're fine. But the more people there are, the more likely I am to just regress backwards, and they're likely to kind of like come back up. So there's a lot of different things going on. So first is you talk about really going back home. So those environmental cues, right? Especially if you're going back home to, like, you know, the homestead that's been your childhood home for a long time, or your grandparents' home or whatever. When you go back, you just kind of like, you feel, because you spent so much time as a kid in these environments, that you just kind of start taking cues from your environment. So you start kind of regressing back there. So, you know, there are certain situations, and I'm sure people think about this, you know, really think about it. There's certain places or situations that you're in that you catch yourself really going back to, like, teenage years, or even younger, right? Give me my toy. I don't want to share. Mom, you know, he hit me, right? where you're really, really going back. And I will say, you know, I've experienced this myself. I have seen it happen with my boyfriend and his family as well. And not necessarily like him, but like other members of the family. It's very funny to watch people's family dynamics shift. Like, you know them, and then you see them around their family and you're like, because the roles, like their attitude and their personality shift a little bit. So we have like environmental cues, but then the real thing is transactional analysis, which is a very fancy term, but it basically means that we respond in set roles, either as parent to child, or child to parent, or adult to adult, right? And so as we grow up, as we age out of the house, and especially for our college students here, where it's really fresh, right? Maybe you're not even out of the house yet, so you maybe haven't navigated this process, that you are going to likely fall right back into the child role if your parents come at you from a parent role. It's really hard to break this mold. So if your parents come at you and are like, you know, do your chores, right? you know, whatever, that you're going to be like, mom, why? Right. I don't want to, I'm busy. Right. Where you just kind of end up whining a little bit, or, you know, pushing back, or you like have a flashback to your teenage years and you're like, you know, I'm an adult, treat me that way, but you're saying it You're saying it in a way that's not very believable. So this is, it's really, it's funny. So the first step is you have to be able to recognize that this is happening, right? And often this takes you, your partner or spouse going, so I don't love when we're back with your family and you start whining, or I don't love what pops out of your mouth when we're around your family, because, you know, you're kind of, you're not the person I normally know, right? You've gone back 10, 20, 15, 30, you know, like all these different years here. So it might take somebody else pointing out, hey, did you know that you end up whining a little bit when we're back home? Or, you know, did you end up squabbling a lot with your parents? And the reality is, it's because you're just falling back into those roles, especially if like the holiday traditions haven't been reestablished as adult to adult role, right? So like the kids' table, you know, that kind of stuff, right? So, you know, and let's be honest, the kids' table is often a lot more fun than the adults' table. So I hear you. you know, if I still can, I will absolutely sneak over to the kids' table, and I'll be like, oh, I'll watch them, but I don't want to be around. I don't want to be around everybody's political conversations and things. So I will just casually sneak over to the table where people are arguing about their favorite dinosaurs. They're telling me about like the clothes they're wearing. They'll ask me what's going on with my earring. Like, that's way more fun to me. So, so I will regress right back onto the kids' table pretty much any time that I get. But it takes recognition of the patterns and then choosing to respond as an adult, because as you establish yourself as an adult, calmly, because if you're not doing it calmly, you're coming from the kid role, right? So if you do it calmly as an adult, they will then come from their parent role back down to the adult role and meet you on those equal terms. So it's really hard to do. And I still occasionally slide on back. And, you know, it's natural, especially around the holidays, because there's extra stuff added on, right? So, you know, and this is often a way for parents to show appreciation and love, family traditions, all this stuff, is to bring in all this heavy parental kind of stuff. But then at some point you need to renegotiate what being adults together is. And I'm not saying you can't be spoiled a little bit by your grandma, your grandpa, your parents, right? Like my grandma still tries to feed me every second I'm in her house, and I will mostly say no, but every once in a while I will let her I will let her bring me some coffee. I will let her bring me some snacks and stuff. Because one, I know it makes her happy. Too, you know, it's all right to be babied a little bit sometimes. I'm not saying you can't regress a little bit, but if you want that to change, or if you'd like the squabbles between your parents and you to stop, or your aunts and uncles, grandparents, whatever, then it takes you kind of rising up a little bit and just reestablishing the adult role so that everybody falls back into that. And that goes for your brother too. Although I would argue, I think siblings are always just gonna bother each other just a little bit. my siblings are still very young. A lot of them are. So I can't say for sure what the adult role looks like for all of us, but definitely some button pushing, I think, is in order.
always since he was born. No, but you know, I love exploring this with you, and I am so grateful that you brought this up and that you sent this question to me, because I had not thought about this, and I'm pretty sure that a lot of people don't think about it. But when you said this, when you said, you know, like we've had this, both my husband has seen it in me and I have seen it in him, but we have not been able to really say it. It's like I've the only thing that I've said is like, you change, you know, like that's the only thing that I've been able to say is like, I don't necessarily like it very much when we, you know, gather all together, because you change and I don't appreciate that change, you know? But to be able to call it and to be able to just know that it's a natural thing that happens, and it's something that needs to be worked out, you know, amongst ourselves and our families. Oh, so much power in that. It's like so much liberation, you know, because it is hard to navigate. It is hard to navigate. I mean, I'm thinking about my relationship with my mom. And that's one where I most certainly, you know, go back, and my mom lived with us for many, many years. And it was really difficult. In my mind, I was like, okay, when she comes, you know, I'm the one in charge of the house. and as time went through, I mean, it became her house. Like it really, you know, and it trickled down to my children. And I'm not saying this in a bad way, but it was not healthy at the end for both me and her, you know, in so many ways. So thinking about boundaries, because you talked about that and you mentioned that as you were explaining all of this, right? Like thinking about those boundaries and leveling up as adults, right? Man, adulting at its best. This conversation, I love this, right? How do we establish that, and how do we navigate that in a way that's not hurtful? Because I think that that realization on both parts can be really, really, I mean, painful. I mean, as a mom, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, my daughter is 17. I'm gonna be in that level pretty soon. I'm gonna be leveling down pretty soon with her, right? And I don't know that I'm ready for that, you know, like just thinking about it, like I feel a little knot right here in my heart, like, oh, my heart, you know. So how do we get those boundaries and establish that and honor all of that?
So I think we should clarify first that just because you're an adult doesn't mean that that's not your mom, that that's not your daughter, that, you know, that that's not your grandma, your aunt, uncle, niece, nephew, whatever, right? You still have those roles. It's about basically recognizing the independence and autonomy of the other person. So understanding that they have their own thoughts and feelings, that you can't be in charge of those thoughts and feelings. You're not for anybody ever, to be clear.
I can't count anymore. I can't put them in timeout.
Probably not successfully. You could try, but probably not very successfully.
I'll get to 100, nothing will happen.
One, and they're like, what are you doing right now, right? So recognizing that the way that we respond to people as they get older needs to change a little bit, but it doesn't change your relationship. It doesn't really change your role. It's just about respecting the other person's independence and ownership of their own feelings and thoughts and things. So, and again, I'm still learning, and I definitely go back when I see my grandparents. And especially if my boyfriend's not with me, because then it's like so easy to just be like, I'm the grandbaby, right? So even though I'm a grown adult, like I'm a grandbaby, take care of me, right? So it's just kind of nice to be spoiled every once in a while. But anyway, so the renegotiation is basically about respectfully, so important, respectfully, calmly saying what you would like, right? So, and making an I statement. So, you know, I would be happy to help you with the dishes, right? So instead of like, if they come at you, like you need to do the dishes, you can just take a moment and say, be happy to do the dishes. I need to finish whatever. And then I'll be right in to assist, right? Versus mom, God, right? Like, I'm busy. Can't you see, right? So you're able to take that nice big breath, really stop and think about how you want to respond. And so it's basically about breathing and responding. And then as they see you respond with the, sure, I'd love to help. Let me finish what I'm doing here. Give me about 5 minutes and I'll be right in. Versus, mom, why are you always bothering me? I don't live here. You do the dishes. whatever you're doing, right? So if you respond that way, they're just going to keep coming at you in the parent role. If you come up and say, absolutely, give me a few minutes. Or, you know what, I can't, but I would love to, whatever, right? So you're respecting the boundaries. You're being very kind, taking that nice big breath that many of us need in general, but especially when we're dealing with family, that deep breath can really assist. And I actually just had to set boundaries with my grandma about conversation, that she was going a certain way. And it sucked. I hated doing it, but I had to, because it was hurting me to listen to what she was sharing. And so I said, you know, I'd like to take a moment to talk about boundaries. And, you know, I recognize that you would like to talk about this. I am not comfortable hearing about it. So I'm going to ask that we don't talk about this subject, right? And so she struggled with that, and I struggled with it. And she, you know, I'm just being completely honest. She was like, well, I need this. And I said, you can still need that. I'm not saying you can't, but I am not the person to talk to about this. You can find somebody else to do that. And I was like, I know that's really hard. I am not mad at you. But this is what I need in order to stay, you know, safe, healthy, whatever kind of phrase you need to put in there. But it sucked. I hated it. I got upset, right? Like, I cried. It was hard. And I'm not saying like, oh, just take a deep breath and everything will be fine. No, this is a process. It will suck. It will hurt sometimes, especially if it's a really important boundary that you need to establish. So politics, I know, are a hot mess right now. COVID, right? I mean, there's a lot of hot button stuff out there. And so really being firm in your boundaries. And, you know, she hasn't brought it up since. I mean, it's only been a few weeks, but she hasn't brought it up since. We had to process separately, which is fine. I'm not responsible for her emotions. She's not responsible for mine, right? And so we processed, we came back, and we've talked several times since then. So being able to advocate for yourself in an adult role, right? So the difference between adult and child role would be saying, this is a boundary that I have, right? And I would like to ask that you respect this, please, because it's difficult for me to talk about this versus why would you say stuff like that, right? So like a totally different tone and phrase and just, again, that deep breath. And I did before I started that conversation with her. And, you know, it's important to have boundaries. We can't have no boundaries because then we're not taking care of ourselves. And I'm not saying you need to have the same boundaries forever. I'm not saying it's easy. But you can do it. And it's important to take care of yourself. So if you know that you have an uncle or a family member that always gets under your skin about a certain topic, and you haven't explicitly said, I'd really prefer that we don't discuss this, right? Or I have a boundary and we're not going to talk about this information. That's hard. And then, you know, if they don't listen to you, then you leave the conversation, you change the subject, right? But you make it really clear this isn't a boundary, because if you say, let's not talk about this, and then they keep doing it and you stay there, you're telling them that this isn't a real boundary. So I 100%, this is so hard to do. It really, really is. And I've had to do this multiple times throughout my life to set boundaries with family, especially, but with friends sometimes. And it sucks, but it's important. And I feel a lot better about my relationships with these people now that I do have these boundaries set up with them. And I've also been on the other end of things, right? Where people said, I can't talk about this subject. This is my boundary. And I've been like, okay, all right. And it's easy to do on the receiving end. It's easy to receive that information and go, okay, so if I would like to continue our relationship and show that I care about them and I love them and understand where they're coming from, then I will just not talk about that. And if I accidentally do, because it might pop up, then I go, oh, sorry, I forgot. How's the weather today? Just transition right over, okay? So yeah, I know that was a lot, so I'll...
No, and I really appreciate that. It sounds like, you know, I you're giving me the idea that we need to have a conversation around boundaries, and relationships, and maybe that's a good way to start the year. So maybe in January we can come back and have a conversation about, because I think that it also trickles into the New Year's resolutions and, you know, setting up boundaries and looking at the year in a different eye. So maybe stay tuned for that, because that might be coming up. We only have about 8 minutes left here and we're not going to cover all of them, but I love that idea. even right now that, you know, because maybe you may be thinking, well, you know, that only happens when we're in person, but right now that we're at home and we're not going to be in person, I don't have to worry about boundaries. I would like to challenge that a little bit, because there's other boundaries maybe. And I don't know, Julie, if you can share with us maybe some of the boundaries, not just with others, but that we should set for ourselves to just continue to cope with the holidays and be well. If you have some suggestions that you can share with us.
Yeah. So the conversation with my grandmother with the boundary was on the phone, right? So it absolutely is still happening now. And so I want to be really clear about that. Like, people, the benefit is, if I really didn't want to talk, I would just... I wouldn't want to do that to my grandma, but there is a benefit to being on Zoom. You can mute people, you can hang out on them. You can't really do that in person a lot of times. So there is that benefit. Some boundaries that I think are really important is valuing our own time. Even if we're extroverted, we still need time to ourselves to like be just who we are without any expectations and obligations. And so I encourage you to not overbook yourself. And this is also words of advice to myself as I'm talking, that you don't need to be busy all the time. Your free time is free time. You need time to do nothing as well as hang out with people. So if you can, if you're able, take time off from work, from school, not a lot. I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot, but just being really intentional about the time that you have, pretty much always be intentional, but especially when you're engaging in self-care, when you're setting boundaries, when you have that nothing time, to be very present in those moments so that you get all the stuff out of it, right? So this past weekend, where I was so fortunate, I had 3 full days off and I was like ecstatic about having 3 full days off of school and work and volunteer and, you know, all the other stuff that I need to do. And then one of the days I caught myself just scrolling on Instagram and Reddit and I was just going and going and I was like, ugh, like I'm wasting this time, right? Like I only have 3 full days off and then I'm literally working like 23 days in a row. So, you know, I'm wasting this time. So I had to stop and think about it and go, all right, well, clearly I just needed to like check out and be distracted. And I'm a big fan of the Instagram reels now. So I love watching all these ridiculous short videos of people dancing and stuff. And I was like, that was kind of fun. But now that I've recognized that I'm not happy with what I'm doing, that I feel like I'm wasting my time, I'm going to put my phone down, mute it, right? And then go do something productive, whatever that was. And I can't even remember. I think I like did some crafts and then I like cleaned a little bit and then I came back, right? So if you catch yourself falling into these patterns that you don't like, just break them. Just go, okay, well, I scrolled on Instagram for, you know, an hour and now I would like to do something different because I'm mad at myself about this. And you can go, okay, well, that wasn't great. But if you stay in that feeling, then you're just going to end up wasting the whole day, right? And I caught myself doing that. And my poor boyfriend was like, I mean, you wanted to just like sit on the couch and scroll Instagram. And I was like, yeah. And he was like, so you did that. And I was like, yeah. So it's funny. Sometimes you just need somebody else to give you permission sometimes, right? So he's like, okay, so you did that. Now what, right? Are you going to keep doing it? That's fine. You can do that. Or do you want to like, you know, go clean the dining room up or, you know, whatever. And so being very mindful about internet usage, news engagement, your personal time, time with your family, it's important, but you don't have to be on Zoom with them for 8 hours. Like you can do a 30 minute Zoom call and get a lot out of it, right? So I think part of the Zoom fatigue is that people are like so excited about using Zoom that they're like, we have to meet for a full hour. They don't. A bunch of that could be email. And then some of it can be the face-to-face, you know, coordination and like a little bit of a check-in and stuff, but don't fall into the trap of like, I have to stay in this for an hour or 2 hours or whatever. I've been encouraging people to schedule 45-minute meetings. And I found that people often get out early from that then because it's not the full hour. So it's kind of interesting how that works. But yeah, definitely personal time, boundaries with family, boundaries with your technology use, and then boundaries with your own feelings, I feel like. So again, with the feelings are okay, you can have them, greet them, say hello to your little people in your head. And then move on, right? Because you don't have to get stuck, right? So yeah, I guess it's, I don't know.
No, that was perfect. That was perfect. That's very clear. That's easy to follow, easy to understand. And it's so, I think, important right now to practice that because we've lost physical boundaries, right? Like we've talked about this before. We're work right now, it's in my room and you know, I don't have those, you know, those physical boundaries. I don't leave work to go be with my kids. I mean, we were doing the live and my kids just came in and did something. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get you for that one, right? Right, so there's no, I mean, we've lost those physical boundaries. So I think it's more important now that we set other boundaries that we can control. Since we lost, you know, my privacy as I'm working and my kids are just coming barging into my room, office, or whatever we want to call it, right? So we have just a couple minutes left. I feel that we could continue to talk so much and that there's so much more. And, you know, I invite, maybe if you're feeling like this was a great conversation and you want to find out more, Julie, where can people maybe connect with you or connect with other resources? Where can they carry this conversation? Because that's really what is important to me, that you carry this with you, that it does not end in this hour, but that it actually, you find little ways to start setting those boundaries maybe, or start doing things that are positive for you. So where can we find more information, more resources?
Yeah. So I think 2 years ago in December, I did a podcast with Heidi from Hope Works. And we talked about boundaries with family. So how to cope with particularly toxic family members and setting those strong boundaries. So you can flash on back to that podcast episode. You'll have to dig back a little bit. We've been doing this for a while now. So scroll on back for that. We can on Facebook pop it into a comment to make that easy. You can follow me on Instagram, Inquiring Minds LLC, with the little underscore in between the words there. And I do have a Facebook page that I'm starting to get a little bit better on sharing stuff as well. And so you are more than welcome to engage with me on Instagram, especially just because I'm very active on it there. And for more information, just scroll Instagram. I know that sounds terrible. Scroll Instagram. There are so many wonderful therapists and psychologists on Instagram that are really sharing like key phrases to use with family, or like alternative ways to do, the Zoom holidays. And, there's just lots of really good information. Of course, I share stuff too. So if you like what I say, you can come follow along, but I also would not be offended if you would like to hear from other people. I'm not sure if Hope Works is doing another episode like this around this time or not, you don't think so? Okay. So there is that one that I did with Heidi, about 2 years ago that you can check out. And there are some other resources, I think, that were listed in the show notes of that particular podcast episode about setting boundaries. So I will pop that into a Facebook comment, and hopefully that we can add that into the show notes as well, just the links and stuff. But really, it's just about checking in with yourself, maybe talking to a therapist about it. Like, family is tough. Everybody needs a therapist. So maybe you want to just go talk to a therapist about ways to set good boundaries with somebody, or maybe you need to talk it out with a friend first and then go to your family, right? So there's a lot of ways you can start establishing these.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we can't close the show without the self-care send-off, obviously. So Julie, how are you taking care of yourself in this holiday season, this 2020 holiday season?
Yeah. So we are talking, my boyfriend and I are talking with my family about potentially all of us quarantining for 2 full weeks, a hard quarantine, no store, no nothing, and potentially seeing each other face-to-face at the end of that 2 week period, probably in the beginning of January. So that is something that we're in the talks of. We're gauging everybody's consent and readiness and all that stuff. And this is just tentative at this point. So it might change. And then, that's something I'm looking for. I really miss my grandparents. And I would like to be able to see them if I can, but I need to do so safely. And then, for myself, I have decided that I needed to stop living with imperfect furniture. I know that sounds very ridiculous. So we moved in 7 years ago to our house, and we just had all of our mismatch hand-me-down stuff from family and all that. So I've been really trying to make, instead of just living with what we had, to be very conscious about I actually need shelves over here, and then going and getting the shelves that fit the space, and then making them. So I'm slowly working on I just updated the dining room, which is why I was talking about cleaning it. So we added some new furniture in because we're buying a lot of bulk food and I need somewhere for that to live, not on top of my dining room table. So we're slowly improving our interior space, and it feels really good because I don't know why we were stalling, and it didn't, it felt like we were living here, but it wasn't necessarily 100% our home, even though we've been here for 7 years. So
that's so cool. That's so cool. And, I love that you just share that with us, and thank you for that. Both of the things that you just shared with us, because that is something that maybe families can consider this holiday, if it's safe to do, and still, with a small group of people, mm-hmm. Where everybody really gets on board and just do, like you said, that hard, quarantine and just, you know, make sure that you're safe. And then the first place that you leap for would be the place where you guys are going to meet.
Right.
The gathering, and then just go back. That's an option that I had not thought about, but you know, if maybe somebody who's listening might be worth exploring, but understanding the commitment, the huge undertaking and commitment that it takes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I would be able to do something like that because of my soccer and, you know, like I need to bring my kids outside for their mental health. So that's one of the ways that I'm actually taking care of my family is making sure that I provide them with the things that they need. So I found a volunteering opportunity for my daughter and she's going to a store and she's helping at a store, you know, kind of like count the number of people that are going in and out of the store to keep the store safe, right? And then for my son, I'm trying to make as many with the same group of friends, as a small group of friends, just make sure that he's active, that he's outside active playing, because that's what he needs for his mental health, right? And then for myself, you know, from our conversation today, I mean, like I said, I think that what I was doing to take care of myself was just being okay with not decorating for the holidays and not really worrying about it too much. But I love the challenge that you brought in today where it was like, just make sure you're acknowledging others in the house, that it's not just, you know, that I'm not Dictator Chris saying, okay, no lights this year. And that's it. So so that's you know, that's what I'm gonna do to take care of myself, acknowledge where I am and how I'm feeling right now. It might change. I might later, the spirit might hit me. It might come and just like hit me, you know, and decide to just fully go and do it. But as of right now, I'm okay with being in the house that has no lights in their street. I'm okay with that, but I need to make sure that everybody else is okay with it. So that's what I'm gonna do. To take care of myself and at the same time acknowledge what my family needs. Is there anything else, Julie, that you would like us to say or cover before we wrap our conversation up? I think this is our last conversation of the year.
Just remember, it's not, the holidays aren't canceled. Don't go into that black and white thinking. Always look for the nuances, the shades of gray. Two emotions can exist at once. So it's just really important that you don't get caught up into this, like, you know, I can't celebrate in person the way I would like to with, you know, 50 of my closest family members or whatever. And it's okay to grieve. It's okay to be sad, angry, whatever you're feeling really is okay. You can't stay in it forever, but it's okay to feel it. So acknowledge it, say hello, right? And then do something about it, okay? And it's all right if you need a day even, but don't get stuck in this for all of December. And a little bit of caution with the whole 2021 is a new year thing. Yeah, but the circumstances are pretty much the same. So we need to be careful that we don't fall into that black or white thinking again, even on the positive side.
Right. It's not magically going to go away. It's not magically going to change. We would love it, right? It could be just like a book where we turn the page and it's like, new canvas, right? Let's rewrite this. But it's not going to be that way. So I think acceptance is the one thing that I would like to leave everybody with. Let's accept, you know, where we are, the things that we cannot change. Let's just understand them and accept them, and the things that we can change, you know, like we can change the way we can't change the fact that we can't gather in big groups. However, we can change the way in which we are used to celebrating, right? And I think that if we just accept that and we try to make the best of it, maybe personalize, I mean, maybe this is an opportunity for you to write a letter to different family members that you hadn't not done before. Maybe it's a way, you know, before you didn't buy them the big expensive gift because you were spending that money in your ticket to get there. Maybe this is the year where you can do that. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's other ways that you can support. I mean, maybe there's, you know, like we said, maybe you cook, maybe you've never cooked before, and this is the year that you give cooking a try because you just really want to try that. And that creates an opportunity to share in a different new way with somebody special in your family. So find ways to celebrate. Do celebrate. Give yourself permission to have the days where you just don't do anything, like Julie said, but don't stay there, right? So don't do the toxic celebration and positivity and be joyful all the time, but at the same time, don't be on the other side. So live in the gray, live in the middle, enjoy the holiday season, whatever that means for you, make the best of it. Have a beautiful month of December, and Julie will be back with us in January. I think we already have some ideas of what we're going to do, and we'll talk more about that. And I will continue to be with you for a few more days in December. So thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Share this with your friends, with your family. Connect with us. Send us messages. If there's ideas, maybe there's topics that you want us to cover, please, by all means, drop a comment or just send us an email. Until next time, I am Cris Oviedo.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.